This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Of course, it's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Someone wants to know what they mean by democracy. They love using that word. Why don't I care for Vladimir Putin? That's interesting. How do you deal with communist attacks on you? All that and so much more coming up. In fact, we'll get to the democracy thing here in just a moment. First, remember you can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Also, remember we were just talking about ad buys and how commercials work on campaigns. We got this lovely email. Dear Jesse, you overgrown eunuch, not even chalk will help your sorry beep. You and Chris need to pull your head out of your beep and find out who is putting Kamala Harris, Tim Walz ads during your show saying Trump is a threat to democracy. They're on tape delay, blah, blah, so on and so forth. Well, listen to me, moron. I've explained this before, so allow me to explain it again. Advertising, just it works on radio the same way it works nationally. And I don't own these airwaves. Premier, out of the goodness of their hearts, they allow me to do this show. If you hear an ad that has my voice on it, my voice, that's one I control. I say yes, I say no, have the right of first refusal, and do so all the time with people who want to advertise on the show. Just rejected another one, actually. Ones that don't have my voice, those are national ads that are beyond my control. And if you don't like them, that's too friggin' bad. And we have, the stupid FCC has these laws where we are not allowed to refuse a candidate if they want to run a political ad if the other candidate is running a political ad. Any radio show anywhere, you're not allowed to refuse it, or any, I should say, radio station, because I don't control any of that stuff. But that's how that works. So take your lovely email and roll it up in a nice little wad. And now, you know, I'm going to move on. Hi, Jesse. Why is it every time I hear democracy, I think it's a code word meaning communism? Well, the communists are great at this. They're so good at this. It's well, communism is demonic. It's exact same tactics the devil uses. Exact same tactics the devil uses. What are those tactics? Well, if you are, let's say you're a good person. You probably are. Let's say you're a family person. You have a family. You love them. You believe in hard work, family. Maybe you go to church on Sunday, believe in God. Kids go to school, teach them to study hard, teach them manners. You're a good person, right? Doing the right things. Let's say I wanted to destroy you, destroy your family. What if that's what I wanted? How easy would it be for me to sell you right now? You're that guy. You're that girl. How easy would it be for me to sell you, hey, I need you to run out on your family. I have a trunk full of cocaine. And you and me, we're going to go on a big drug bender. Just run out on your family and we'll just do cocaine. We'll just do drugs until we die. What would you say to me if I asked you, if I made you that offer? You would say, no, get away from me, you deranged freak. Because I just came to you with something that's completely opposite of everything you are. Therefore, you would never agree to it in a million years. But what if I came to you and said, hey, I know you got this family you love. I know you're involved in your job and things like that, but there's this youth camp and these kids, they really, really need your help. And I'm going to need you to leave your family for a year and come help me at this youth camp. You're going to have to run out on your husband or run out on your wife, run out on your kids, because this youth camp, these kids, don't you love kids? You love kids? I thought you loved kids. These kids are in need and they need your help. You see, if my goal was to break you away from your family, I have to find something that appeals to your values and that leads you to believe that I share your values and therefore I don't have evil plans for you. I can't show up at your house and offer you cocaine and a road trip. You will reject it. The communists in America understand they can't stand up in front of you and sell you communism. They can't tell you, hey, listen, my goal for this country is I want to flood the country with immigrants from all over the planet because they have no loyalty to the country and they'll let me destroy it. I want to spend you into bankruptcy. I want to print as much money as I can. The money I take from you, I'm going to hand it out to my political friends. I want the Department of Justice to arrest all my political enemies and protect me and my allies. I want to confiscate your car. I want to control everything you do. I want to control what you're allowed to say. I want the authority to shoot you in the face if you don't do everything I want you to do. Do you think that would be a sell the American people would buy? No, of course not. So if you're a communist, you have to try to appeal to normal, everyday American. How do I sell the destruction of our country to a normal, everyday American? Well, you don't use words like communism and Marxism, and you don't talk about destroying things or the bourgeois. You don't talk about confiscating cars or shooting people in the face. You just go with democracy. It's a lovely sounding word. Half the morons in this country probably think we live in one. We do not. We live in a constitutional republic, a representative republic. Democracy is a horrible, despicable, evil form of government. The founding fathers spoke out loudly against democracy all the time. Benjamin Franklin said democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what to have for dinner. Democracy is evil. Democracy is mob rule. But to the normie norms of the country, doesn't sound that bad, right? Doesn't sound that bad. Well, democracy, I guess, aren't we? Honey, are we a democracy? I love democracy. And so they didn't try to sell you Marxism because you would have rejected Marxism. They tried to appeal to your values. Like when they talk about guns, here's Don.
So, Brian, I am a gun owner, and Tim Walz, my running mate, is also a gun owner. We're not taking anybody's gun.
Just remember that. I'll play it again in its entirety. Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, they believe in gun confiscation. If they had their way, they would send the FBI to your door and take your guns at gunpoint. If you didn't give away your guns, they would throw you in handcuffs and throw you in a cage for the rest of your life. They not only want to take your guns, they want to take your guns because they want the freedom to hurt you if you don't comply, like all communists do. That's what communists believe in. Government forcing people to do things they don't want to do at gunpoint. That's what they believe. But you're not going to buy that. You're not going to go for that. Older Democrat guy, old Union Democrat guy, been voting Democrats his whole life, but still kind of likes America. He's never going to go for that. But he might go for this.
Said Brian, I am a gun owner, and Tim Walz, my running mate, is also a gun owner. We're not taking anybody's guns away. I support the Second Amendment, and I support reasonable gun safety laws.
See, it's a pause. I'll let her keep going, but see what she just did there? They love two things when they discuss gun confiscation. Reasonable. They love that word. I support reasonable gun safety laws. Why are you opposing me? Are you being unreasonable? These are reasonable. Or the second term they love when discussing gun laws, common sense. I support common sense gun laws and reasonable gun laws. What? Are you rejecting common sense? Are you rejecting? Are you being unreasonable? She already said she's a gun owner. She said she's not coming for your guns. Why don't you just be reasonable? And let me take just a couple of them away from
you. Part of my approach to this is I was a career prosecutor for most of my career. I have personally prosecuted homicide cases. I have personally looked at autopsies. I have personally seen what assault weapons do to the human body. And so I feel very strongly that it is consistent with the Second Amendment and your right to own a gun to also say we need an assault weapons ban. They're literally tools of war. They were literally designed to kill a lot of human beings quickly.
Literally. They were literally. It's not just that they do these things. It's they literally do that. Literally? Did they literally do these things, Dome? Literally? I'm sorry. I'm not going to go off now. They use your values against you, and they figure out how to speak to you in a way that doesn't freak you out. They want you calm. Hey, don't freak out. Don't worry. We're not gonna kick in your door tonight. We're just gonna kind of take away a couple of those big scary guns we don't like. Aren't you? Why don't you be reasonable? That's how they use your values against you. Don't ever let them do that. All right, and don't ever live with pain. Don't sit and let that nagging pain suck the joy out of your life. It's what nagging pain does. That neck pain, your hands. Your hands ever bother you? You ever find yourself doing this, rubbing your hand? I said doing this like you can see me. Rubbing your hands, they're sore. Your knees, your hips. You know your body's trying to fight that inflammation. Your body just needs some help. Doesn't need you ignoring it. It doesn't need you taking something to mask it. Try Relief Factor, 100% drug-free. You take it daily. You take it every day. It'll build up in your system. You give it 3 weeks, that pain of yours might just be a thing of the past. Not masked, gone. 3 week quick start kit, $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. All right. Why do I dislike Putin? Oh, I'll tell you. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, on Spotify, on iTunes. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a 5-star rating in a review discussing how handsome I am. Let's discuss some more Ask Dr. Jesse questions because they're all over the place today. Dr. Jesse, I was speaking to one of my well-educated liberal friends today. Or wait a minute. No, this isn't the Putin one. I missed the... Where's the Putin one? Oh, the guy... hold on. You're going to have to wait. Oh, this is it. Sorry. Mr. Kelly, some time ago you asked us why we believe what we believe. Ask ourselves why we believe what we believe. My immediate reaction was, Mr. Kelly, why do you believe what you believe? A few days ago, you said you hated Russian President Putin. Other talk show hosts for years have made similar statements, but they never tell us point by point why they believe what they believe. They and you expect us to believe what you believe because you say so, never any proof. Always believe us because we say so. Please tell us in detail why we too should hate President Putin. Okay. That's an interesting little email, an interesting challenge. I would argue that I lay out pretty clearly why I believe the things I believe all the time, but you ask specifically about Putin, I will tell you. I do not like dictators. I do not trust people in power, period. Power, people in power, they abuse it. It is the tendency of man. What is that Lord Acton quote? Power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. When I see a member of Congress, in the House or Senate, even a Republican who's been there for 20 years, it gives me the heebie-jeebies. I don't like it. Why are you still in power? Why are you clinging to power? You know, there are stories from the past, a bunch of stories of people relinquishing power. And I have always admired those people because it's so hard to do. It's so difficult to do. Cincinnatus. You know the story of Cincinnatus probably. If not, he was lionized in the Roman days, in the Roman Republic. In the Roman Republic, they had a system of government. Obviously, it was run by the Senate, not by a king. But that's actually not a great system of government in times of emergency. It's too slow. You don't have time. So in times of emergency, let's say an invading army came, the Romans would appoint someone dictator temporarily. Hey, you are the all-powerful dictator. No more Senate, no more nothing. You just lead. And then you can make decisions quickly. Cincinnatus is famous in that he was a farmer. Obviously, he wasn't some poor farmer. He was a pretty prestigious farmer. He was a well-off farmer. Rome got into trouble. They picked Cincinnatus to lead them as dictator. He did. He led them through the troubles, and he was lionized in Rome, not because he led them through the troubles, because he washed his hands from power immediately once he was done and went right back to his farm. That was considered the best, and I so admire that. When you have power over people, it can be intoxicating, and to give it up is so difficult. And so when you go to someone like Putin, my dislike of Putin actually doesn't have anything to do with any of the invasions or wars, because if you know anything about the history of that region, it's all invade here, war there, long, long, ugly histories of wars and borders, and I don't get involved in any of that stuff. I dislike Vladimir Putin because he has completely changed the Russian constitution so he doesn't ever have to leave power. He's an autocrat who's taken complete control. He arrests his political opponents, and he refuses to leave power. That I don't like. I despise it. I distrust it. I guess I probably have read too much at this point in time about the atrocities throughout history. And there have been so many terrible atrocities. You could call them Holocausts. When we think about the Holocaust, we think about the Holocaust of the Jews during World War II. Obviously, that's the biggest one. It's the most recent one. But that's one of many Holocausts there have been. What'd you say, Chris? What do you say? We're number one? No. Oh, yeah. Good point. Well, that's what I was saying. Chris said that was one. There are lots. That was one. There are lots. Chris is right. And the suffering, the stories of people suffering, of whole families dying in front of each other. You read these horrible, heartbreaking stories that sound like they're out of a horror movie, but this is the reality human beings have lived. And almost every time there's one of these historical atrocities, it's because there's an autocrat in charge who won't give up power and just starts freaking murdering people. I distrust power. I distrust Putin because I distrust power. Anyone who won't give it up, I inherently distrust. I do. And I know it's hard to give it up. Honestly, of all the things I hate about FDR, I just think it speaks so poorly of the man that he wouldn't leave the presidency. He just kept running and running and running. George Washington, president twice, gave it up on his own. George Washington was so popular, he could have been president till the day he died. Did two terms and gave it up. He thought that was the right thing to do. Gosh, that's awesome. Putin doesn't give up power, and therefore I dislike him. That explain it? Even though you asked the question in a rude, condescending way, which I appreciate, I should note. You know what else I appreciate? I think this is the weekend. Me and the boys, we're going to test out the Burn a Pistol launcher on ourselves. What, Chris? It's going to be fine. Now, listen. The Burn a Pistol launcher is non-lethal. It shoots pepper balls or tear gas balls or a combination of the two. I'm not going to shoot either of my sons with it, and I'm not going to let them shoot me because the thing travels. It's got a 60-foot range. The thing hurts when you get hit. It hurts bad. And then the powder comes. But I think what we're going to do, we're going to shoot the ground close to us, fairly close to us, and see how long we can stand the tear gas before we run away crying and snotting everywhere. Now, I'm not saying this is the smart thing to do with your Burn a Pistol launcher, but it is fun to practice with in the backyard. My youngest geeks out on it all the time, and you should carry it on you because it'll save your life. It will stop a very bad man even if you shoot the ground in front of him. It'll save your life, and it's legal in all 50 states. You don't need a permit. You don't need a background check. It's a non-lethal pistol launcher. B-Y. RNA. Over 500,000 sold already. It's amazing. Byrna.com/Jesse saves you some money. Go get one.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show. We are live. You can still send in your stuff. Jesse at JesseKellyShow.com. We are rolling through all of them today. Let's continue on. Jesse, I was speaking with one of my well-educated liberal friends today, normally peace-loving and anti-defense. When I suggested that we are edging very close to war with Russia and possibly nuclear war, she stated, quote, "We should be at war with Russia. We can't let them get away with what they are doing." She pretty much sounded like Justin Trudeau. What has happened to our peaceniks? When I see this sort of thing being repeated by former doves, it convinced me that we are being walked deliberately into war, intentionally and with purpose. Is it really this dark? Well, it is and it isn't. So let's discuss the two aspects of war with Russia, the Russia-Ukraine thing, why did the peace-loving hippies, why are so many of them on board with it now? Okay, first, the war aspect. We covered this in a bunch of depth last night, so I don't want to do that again. But as the great Smedley Butler once said, war is a racket. It's a racket. Now, I understand war is necessary. I'm not some a pacifist, but war should be very rare. And war is absurdly profitable for certain people. That's one of the things that makes it so terrible for some people, for the people who have to fight it. And I mean really actually fight it on the front lines. For those people, it's the most horrible thing in the world. Not only can it kill you, it can maim you. It can scar your mind for the rest of your life. For those people, for the people who actually have to fight it, it's so, so bad. But for others, it's so good. It's all good. If you're a United States president or senator or House member and none of your relatives are in, or if they are in, they're in some back-of-the-line support unit that's never going to get shot at. Where's the negative for them in war? You always get to campaign on war, sound like a super patriot when you campaign on war. The defense contractors you funnel taxpayer money to, they will continue to stroke you gigantic checks. If your senator, pick your senator, if your Senator Mitt Romney, you've never been to war. None of your children have been able to find a military recruiting office. No war for your family. No one you love is going to die. And let's say you've got $500,000 invested with Boeing, large defense contractor. So if you're Mitt Romney, you're not going to die. None of your kids are going to die. And that stock portfolio could look pretty good if this World War III kicks off. And let's say you're a soulless monster who doesn't care about people dying on the ground. What's the negative of war for you? There's no negative. There's no negative for these people. None. None of their kids go fight. Most of them have never gone and fought. The defense industry funnels all this money right back to their campaigns. Where's the negative? There's no negative in it. If you have no soul, if you don't care about people dying, there's no negative in it. Now, that's the war aspect. Now, let's go with your question specifically. You got this peace-loving, anti-defense person talking about how we should go to war. Remember last segment, or maybe it was two segments ago, remember how I was talking about them using your values against you? Well, the evil communists in the system, they did the exact same thing to all those peace-loving hippies who spent the 60s smoking weed at Woodstock. They did the exact same thing to them. They were always about power and destroying America. The communists were always about that. Well, if you're some peace-loving hippie, that wasn't really your thing. No war in Vietnam, man. All that. That wasn't really your thing. But a good way to get those people on your side is to act as if that is your thing. And eventually, what happens is you get that person in your tent. Oh, yeah, we're the peace party. We hate Bush. We hate Cheney. No more war in Iraq. That's appealing to the peace-loving person. That you bring them into your tent. And soon, after enough time grooming them, you've programmed and groomed that former peace-loving hippie into not really being a peace-loving hippie, into being a herd animal who does what they're told, says what they're told to say, without question. And so you look and you think, wait a minute, you're wearing your Cheech and Chong shirt with your dreadlocks on and your Birkenstocks, and you just pulled up in your Subaru Outback and you're talking about World War III with the largest nuclear power on the planet? I don't understand. You don't understand because that person got co-opted because the communists used their values against them. This is exactly like your pastor who tells you we need to let all the immigrants into the country. It's what Jesus would want. Jesus would want your neighbors to be 19 Haitians who eat your dog and rape your wife. Otherwise, you're not turning the other cheek. It's what Jesus said. Using your values against you. It's what they do. It's what evil, demonic people do. And it worked on your peace-loving hippies, too. Jesse, I understand you may be a busy man who doesn't have time for the average email. Pfft, that's what Friday's about. Time for the average email. Anyway, he goes on to say, but I want some advice about coming under fire from the communists. My dad was elected a year and a half ago to a local school board in our district. Recently, he has come under fire for attempting to remove graphic and vulgar books from our library that is not appropriate for anyone. My question is, how do you deal with threats and outright lies about your character and action when the beasts are swarming? All right. I wanted to answer this because I know we have so many people who have gotten involved. And what I'm about to say may sound impossible for you. It's going to depend on your personality. But believe me, you need to come around to it. It may take time, but you need to come around to it. People ask me how I deal with all the threats all the time and all the hate and all that other stuff. Well, I love it. I don't deal with it. I love it. I prefer it because it tells me we are doing good. If we never got hate, if we never got any of that nastiness from the communists, well, I would feel ineffective. I want bad people to hate me. You know, we complain about how the left acts when a person on the right dies, like when Rush died and you saw all these demons on the left, eyes in hell. Oh, I'm glad Rush is gone. And we get mad about that because it's disrespectful to someone we like. I'm here to tell you right now, when I finally die, it could be tonight, 40 years from now. When I die and when the demons celebrate, I want you, please remember this, please. Just know that I'm looking down from heaven and I'm smiling. I want them having a parade when I die because that will mean for me that I made evil miserable while I was on this planet. If your father is catching threats and lies, it's not that you should deal with it. You should celebrate it. That's a Red Lobster night right there. Every new lie, every new smear tells you you're doing good. The darkness is afraid of the light. Keep doing good and learn to embrace the hate. Learn to adore it. Wade into it. It nurtures me. I love it. All right? All right. Shogun. How much chalk, promo code Jesse, he says, how much chalk did you take before the Tucker interview? You were on fire. You might be the only human alive outside of Zeppelin that could use the immigrant song as your walk-up. That's hilarious. That is a sick song, Chris. That's a great song. All right, I take my chalk every day, my brother. And you might really enjoy that Tucker Carlson live thing I did. If you haven't seen it yet, it's free. You can go watch the whole thing. It's 45 minutes. My portion of it's 45 minutes. But I take my chalk every day. Did you think I was going to lay off the chalk for my Tucker thing? Look, you want to be full of pep and energy and fire? Take a male vitality stack or a female vitality stack. Get some natural herbal supplements in your body. Chuck has whatever you're looking for. It's your first stop. They have endless products. Chuck lit powder and Chad mode for pre-workout. And go see what they have. Best quality stuff I've ever seen. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. Someone wants to know, is Trump really the first system disruptor? Hang on.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and it has been an amazing day already today. Now, let's deal with this one. Jesse, if Trump is the first system disruptor, does that mean that every previous Republican president was part of the system? Well, no, listen. I call what we have now the system because all the institutions now work together. But this is a relatively recent development in this country. We used to have separate institutions. It wasn't always this way where the government wanted A. You know, they wanted this, they wanted people to believe the sky is green. We'll go back to my old analogy. And then the education system would immediately join them and start teaching students in science class that the sky is green. And then the media would join them and they'd have experts on every single night explaining that the sky is green. And then Hollywood would feel the need to get down on this and they'd start making movies where the sky is green. That's called a system. It wasn't always that way. We didn't always have a system. I'd say over the last few decades, that's when the institutions slowly but surely figured out they can make more money, they can have more power working together than if they exist as a check on each other, which they used to have to do. So we haven't always had a system, an evil, corrupt system. It used to be decent with separate institutions. What Trump threatens, I've never figured out which specific thing Trump threatens. I believe it's one of two and probably a combination of the two things, because Trump is a fairly moderate guy. Trump is not some hardcore right winger. You're far to the right of Donald Trump. He's just not. On social issues, he's a moderate at best. He's just not that. But they act as if he is the Antichrist. And I believe foreign policy and border stance are really the two reasons they act that way. And like I've said before, I believe the foreign policy aspect of it is the main thing, because if there is one thing the system has agreed upon, Republicans and Democrats, from the Bushes to the Clinton, to all of them, if there's one thing they've agreed upon over the last 20, 30 years, it is war without end in every part of the planet. Republicans and Democrats, universally. Afghanistan, Iraq, it didn't matter who was there. You leave Bush and Obama comes right in. And it was, they all believed the same thing, war without end. And it created this huge financial incentive and power incentive to keep this thing going without end, thus helping create a system. Trump is much more of a Teddy Roosevelt-type Republican, which you can love a lot of that and hate a lot of that. He's much more protectionist than others. But foreign policy-wise, Trump, he's a real non-interventionist and always has been. This is not some Johnny-come-lately thing for Trump or something where he says one thing one day and then the next thing the next day just because he's doing election pandering stuff. Trump, long before he was ever in politics, was speaking out loudly against this endless foreign intervention where we don't get anything for it. You probably remember, Trump was all over TV back when he was a real estate mogul and a reality TV star blasting our involvement in Iraq. Trump would go out there and say, what are we doing? We're not even getting oil. What is any of this even for? None of this makes sense to me at all. Well, think for a moment how many people are dependent financially on war without end everywhere. How many people in the defense industry? How many people in the military? Do you think that four-star general, do you think he wants the war to end? Is his son dying in it? Almost never now. That's something that almost never happens now. No. His son's safe back at Yale. Your son will die. His son isn't dying in it. The war itself gives him prestige. Once he retires, he doesn't retire and go become a mailman for his last 20 years. He retires and he goes to sit on the corporate board of a defense contractor where he'll make $500,000, $1 million a year showing up to 3 board meetings a year. Why would he ever want the war to end? They're all invested now in it going on without end. And again, I'm not one of these pacifists who believes there's no other point to war. But I believe a lot of the hatred to Trump, a lot of the hatred you see aimed at Trump from the system, from the powerful people, is that he's trying to stop that or wants to stop that. Dear Dick Cheney of Paintball, every time a city or location comes up, you claim you love that area. Even my garbage home state like Minnesota. Is there anywhere you don't like? Philadelphia is the most garbage city in the U.S. If you need a starting point, you can say my name. His name is Bradley. Okay, one, don't laugh at me. I like Philadelphia. I've had some of the best pizza in my life in Philadelphia. That's one. Two, you mentioned Minnesota's garbage. Minnesota's politics may be garbage. My dad used to take me fishing up there, and Minnesota is amazing for fishing. I know Minneapolis is a war zone now. When I was a child, Minneapolis was so cool. Now, this is 30 years ago. I realize things have changed and deteriorated. It is so cool. I like a lot of different areas because I bore easily. Therefore, I love the mountains. I love being in the woods. I love the city. I love New York City. I love the mountains of Montana. I like it all except, I like the beach. I like the lake. I do not like the desert. You ask where I don't like? You want to know what's funny? My wife, you know I met her when she was a college gymnast. She was on scholarship at the University of Arizona. I met her living in Tucson. I ran for Congress in Tucson. When I was in the Marines, between 29 Palms, California, and Iraq, I spent 7/8 of my time in the Marine Corps in the desert. And then when I got out, I moved to the desert. To this day, if you asked my wife where she would move, if she had to move, we love where we live here in Texas, but if she had to move, if you ask her where she'd move, it would be back to the Arizona desert. It's the one place I will never move. You ask where I don't like, I'm just done with the sand. I'm done with the dry nose. My feet crack. What, Chris? What about Vegas? No. I'm sorry, Chris. I don't do drugs. I'm not going to Vegas. No, I'm just kidding. I don't mind. I visit Vegas every now and then, but I'm not living there. Nope. Done. We still have an hour. Hang on.